We are very pleased to have as our guest in the Global Observatory today, Lieutenant General Romeo Dallaire of Canada, who is the force commander for the United Nations Assistance Mission for Rwanda in 1994, earned the world's regard for his efforts to prevent the genocidal attacks there that killed more than 800,000 Rwandans. General Dallaire is today a member of the Canadian Senate, an outspoken advocate for human rights, genocide prevention, mental health, and war-affected children. And in this last connection, he is the founder of the Romeo Dallaire Child Soldiers Initiative. And it is there that I want to start. General, the Dallaire Initiative provides training to security sector personnel on preventing the use and recruitment of children by armed groups. How do you do that?
We have introduced an angle to the problematic of child soldiers that has not been touched upon by anybody else before. As so many have been engaged in what do you do once you've been able to extract them and what do you do, rehabilitation and so on, no one has been looking at how they're being used and who can in fact influence that use, which means how can you prevent them from being recruited in the first place, and then how do you make them a liability for people who want to use them? And so we discovered that a near security dimension was completely omitted. Child soldiers is not a social economic problem in itself that you pick up afterwards. It is a core security problem in a nation that's imploding. And so it's got to be looked at that way. So you got to bring in the security side actors, the police, the military from missions, the national capabilities, even the non-state actors, and walk them through the scenarios in which we educate them into what child soldiers actually do, what they can't do, and ultimately their limitations. And through that, how do we find non-lethal means of neutralizing them? And that means the option of maybe even using non-lethal weapons, to using radio stations to how to educate them, to using indirect fire, or to simply being able to extricate them when they're in combat, which is when they're most vulnerable, from the leaders.
And once you have done that, I imagine the real purpose is to prevent them from falling back into a military role, isn't it?
One of the really dangerous dimensions is the child soldier who has been re-recruited into another conflict or possibly even the same one. And a re-recruited child often ends up in a leadership role, and in so doing, with his experience or her experience, is able to sustain the efforts of the other kids, and in so doing, make the force effective. And so we specifically work at trying to prevent from the DDRR, the Rehabilitation Reintegration, the possibility of these kids wanting to be re-recruited. And that side is still weak. We've seen many re-recruitments going on from one country to another, and forcibly through child abductions and child transitions between one country to another.
Now, you were also mixed up in trying to prevent human trafficking, are you not?
The human trafficking side of the children is extensive. When I was in Sierra Leone, we were discovering Sierra Leone kids who'd been demobilized ending up in Côte d'Ivoire, because the bad guys had picked them up outside the demobilization centers or the rehabilitation center and simply abducted them and taken them to another conflict and sold them off to a very high price. And so how do you protect them once they've gone through that process is what we're finding is a great weakness.
The United Nations has passed some major resolutions, the Security Council has, and we expect may be passing a new one pretty soon, which I think will sort of amend the one that exists from 2005, 1612. They have also created a working group in the Security Council to watch this, a monitoring mechanism to keep track of it, the well-known six crucial crimes that they mention. How do you find the UN is working in this area, and do you cooperate with them a lot? Do they seek you out?
We've been doing a lot. I mean, we, the international community, through the UN, to bring the paperwork up to snuff. That is to say, from the Optional Protocol on Child Rights right up to now the International Criminal Court holding people accountable for recruiting children and using them as a crime against humanity. And everything in between, including an undersecretary who has a process of naming and shaming annually countries and holding them accountable for recruitment, be they, first of all, nation states, but then trying to get at the non-state actors in those countries to be held accountable. It has not been in vain, because you need the framework of that backdrop in order to hold accountability or fight impunity of the adults who are doing the recruiting, because it's adults who are, in fact, using the kids. However, that has not necessarily affected fundamentally the numbers nor the interest of countries and non-state actors from using kids. And so although you're doing significant efforts in sort of ultimately bringing people online and doing all the paperwork and potentially even bringing them in jail and fighting impunity, we have seen that that has not significantly reduced the desire by adults in imploding nations, failing states to use children as a primary weapon. And that's where I feel that better training, better education of the peacekeepers, the police, better integrating efforts with the NGOs that are on the ground in order to discern, to capture that these kids are being recruited and be far more proactive in preventing them from being recruited and protecting them as a security problem and not as an afterthought is, to our opinion, one of the steps significant forward that we think will ultimately reduce the numbers.
You and I have just attended an event with, among other people, Hervé Ladsous, the Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, and he actually held up a book that you all published, the handbook, because, as I understand it, very often it's a soldier, an adult soldier, who first confronts a child soldier. Have you had success in inculcating in peacekeeper mentality the idea that this is a responsibility they have?
We have been having a number of discussions where this awareness training, this providing them with new tools to handle child soldiers so that they can be effective and also make the child soldiers less of a security problem without having to kill them all. We have now got acknowledgement that this training is of significance. UNITAR, the UN Training and Research Institute, has even not only accepted the training, but has put it on e-learning and available. The question still remains, however, is how do you get it into the hands of troop-contributing nations? Well, one of the tools we've discovered is that why don't we take on the countries that are providing troops? So we've gone directly. We've gone directly to Rwanda, to Uganda, to Sierra Leone, and we're right now training contingents that are going from, as an example, Sierra Leone to Somalia. And in so doing, being proactive in the training without necessarily having the UN funding it, nor even still making it essential. So we scrounge money where we can, and we help countries prepare the contingents with this new capability, particularly those who are going into conflict zones where the primary weapon system are child soldiers, and they want it. It's amazing how these officers, some of them with 2-3 missions under their hat, take this scenario-based training that we've built and developed through the handbook and our field experience and the research we do in having it in the university is very important because we can validate it and then refine it. They are surprised at how they didn't know how to respond to child soldiers. And in fact, often felt that they didn't do their mission because they didn't want to take on the child soldiers, and so avoided it.
Is part of that response seeing it before it happens? I know that you have a theory that your training is prevention-oriented. Is part of that telling soldiers to keep an eye out for when they see young people who might be liable to be recruited?
You're very perspicaz. That is sort of the back end of prevention, of recruitment. That is to say, where we've already got a force on the ground and we are looking at attenuating the possibility that the conflict degenerate where it would use child soldiers. Just look at Central African Republic. 5 years ago, we were telling them they were recruiting child soldiers. So we had a lot of warning of what was going on. So yeah, part of it is to make them observe signs within communities, be attentive, be actually communicating with the social structures who will tell them, hey, all of a sudden our kids are going or this, or people have been coming around wanting to convince kids to join and weapons around. That has not been in the norm of peacekeepers' sort of duties. In fact, they wouldn't even consider it significant because the mandates haven't in the past made it significant. Because child soldiers in the mandates has been a social economic problem. So, you know, we'll pick them up, you know, when we've got the big boys sorted out. Now, the front end of that is how do we get nations to not want to recruit nation states. And so, as an example, the president of Sierra Leone has asked us to retrain his whole army, all his police forces, even his prison guards, and how to handle child soldiers, how to handle children who are end up in gangs, because there's a lot of kids who are unemployed, disenfranchised, turning up in gangs. How do you handle them? Do you start blowing them away, as we see in the favelas in Rio, as an example, where they're killing them nearly 1,000 or so a year? So we're training their police forces and their military to be less aggressive, more attentive, and interfacing with the social structures in order to establish that atmosphere of security and prevent these kids from falling into the hands of recruitment. And lastly, we have been able, with the Sierra Leone government, and that's why it's our first nation-based training, it'll be a good 4 to 5 year program where we're into the curriculum of the primary school, where we're proving to kids that it's not sexy to be recruited to be a child soldier. That what they're telling you, that you're going to have a better life, you're going to be able to go to school, you're going to have money and so on, is wrong and is lies. And so building in the curriculum this sense of awareness that if somebody's sniffing around, I don't want to be part of it. And through that, we believe by the teachers and these kids, we'll get at the parents. And so the parents then will reinforce that. And that's the real clean prevention side. That takes years to do. But ultimately, we see that with the way we're going about it, we'll actually change the philosophy of that people, reference children. And in that aim, we'll actually convince them that if there is conflict, again, the children are not part of it, that you just don't use that.
In April of 2014, just 6 weeks from now, we will be commemorating 20 years since the Rwanda genocide. Obviously, you're going to be a large part of that commemoration speaking. Is there any particular theme or message you hope that that commemoration will capture?
My aim with this 20th is to bring attention to the world that 20 years since Rwanda, with new concepts like responsibility to protect that have made sovereignty no more an absolute, that we are in an era where there is a dearth of statesmanship. There's a lot of politicians managing these problems, but no statesmen who are demonstrating the courage, demonstrating the flexibility, the humility, the innovative ideas, and taking the risks of intervening. And so the tools are there, but we don't seem to want to operationalize them. And so my thrust is, why are we not operationalizing the tools that have taken hundreds of thousands of people to die to create, and yet they're sitting there on the shelf?
General Dallaire, thank you very much for being with us in the Global Observatory.
It's a fine platform, and thank you very much.